NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Patty Hirsch.
And I'm Weilin Wong. At the end of January, Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago got hacked.
On Wednesday, January 31st, based on evidence of suspicious activity and consistent with best practices, we took our systems offline. We can now confirm that our network was accessed by a known criminal threat actor.
The hack appears to be what's called a ransomware attack, where the criminals demand a ransom from the company to restore its operations. A ransomware gang named Ricida, it's a kind of centipede, has claimed responsibility. These types of attacks have been happening a lot more lately, and particularly to healthcare companies.
The Identity Theft Resource Center, which tracks hacks and data theft, says healthcare topped the list in the U.S. last year for what they call compromises. The industry suffered 369 successful cyber attacks. That's more than the government, education, and tech sectors combined.
So on today's show, we'll ask why hacking is surging right now, why healthcare companies in particular are being targeted, what hackers want from them, and whether there's a solution. That's coming up after the break, which is just about long enough for you to change your password, by the way.
From password 1 to password 2.
Write it down in your book. No, don't do that. So, Weilin, I came up with an analogy for how a hacker thinks about getting into a company's computer system. You want to hear it?
I absolutely do.
All right. Imagine a house with a really high fence around it and a single gate in the fence. So the hacker's got two ways in. Either they find a hole in the fence to wriggle through or under or whatever, or they find some way to get someone who lives in the house to open the gate and let them in.
That's it.
That is it. The fence is the company's software. The hacker crawls all over it, right, trying to find a bug or a flaw that they can exploit to get in. The gate is the human factor, the employees. The hacker hammers away at them, sending them phishing emails and bogus Facebook posts and other junk, hoping they'll click on some malware or get them to reveal a password so that they can gain entrance.
Actually, at NPR, we get sent these tests. You know, we get training on how to spot a phishing email, and then we get these tests where, you know, we're asked if we can spot a suspicious email. I am very pleased to say I have very good password hygiene.
Yeah, so the reason, of course, that NPR and other companies are sending these kinds of emails and straightening their employees out is because this kind of hacking activity is happening a lot more these days and a lot more successfully. I spoke to Scott Small about this. He's director of cyber threat intelligence at Tidal Cyber, a security company.
Virtually everyone, every industry and sector is a target right now.
The Identity Theft Resource Center says compromises, which means when personal information is acquired or accessible by unauthorized people, almost doubled between 2022 and 2023.
A lot of these attacks are becoming increasingly easy to carry out, or the tools for carrying them out are becoming increasingly available and increasingly easy to use for your average run-of-the-mill hacker.
The technology is getting better, which has reduced the barrier to entry to being a hacker dramatically. No longer do you have to be a computer genius. Right? Wannabe hackers can buy so-called exploit kits. These are like plug-and-play devices to scan a company's software for vulnerabilities. They can also use artificial intelligence that can craft highly effective phishing emails in seconds.
It means that pretty much anyone with a basic working knowledge of software can launch a hacking career. And Scott says the hacking community itself has become a lot more sophisticated and organized.
There is an immense criminal ecosystem. It's a very living and thriving ecosystem that exists to support exactly this type of activity because it generates a lot of money.
And the main way these criminals make their money is by breaking into a company, putting a lock on their data and their backups, freezing up their systems and saying, if you want to access your stuff and get your business back online, pay us.
And this has been happening a lot to healthcare companies lately. John Gunn is the CEO of Token, a cybersecurity company. He says there's one big reason why healthcare firms are such a juicy target for hackers.
For decades, financial institutions have been the primary targets of cyber criminals. There's a lot of money there. But healthcare is an attractive target because they have weaker security.
John says healthcare companies simply don't prioritize cybersecurity in the way that, say, the banks do. We're talking here about acquiring up-to-date hardware and software, training employees in data security, and paying up for top talent to keep hackers at bay.
When you look at what the average healthcare organization spends as a percentage of revenue on their cybersecurity, it's about 5 to 6%. Financial services, it's about twice that. Most technology companies, twice, maybe three times that.
The reason, John says, is because there's a lot less incentive for healthcare companies to protect themselves from cyber attacks. Why? Because customers at healthcare companies are more sticky than they are at financial firms.
To explain sticky, if my bank gets hacked, right, I can easily switch to another institution. But if my healthcare provider gets hacked, it's a lot harder to switch. I mean, you know what it's like trying to find a doctor who's a network. Am I right, Waylon?
Don't remind me.
Yeah. And what if it's the entire network that's compromised? It makes it a much bigger decision, in some cases way above my pay grade, which means it's much less likely to be made.
Another reason that healthcare companies are such a big draw is the value of the data the hackers can steal, which highlights another big evolution in the hacker universe. Scott Small says hackers are changing tactics to leverage the companies they penetrate. They're stealing a company's data rather than just locking it up.
Groups that were explicitly focused on ransomware, they're moving to entirely exfiltration-focused attacks, where that threat of access and leakage of sensitive data, they're using as the pressure point to get an extortion payment paid.
For example, in one attack on Lehigh Valley Health Network in February of last year, photos of naked cancer patients were stolen. The hackers actually published the photos online and wouldn't take them down until the company paid up. In other attacks, hackers have used the stolen data in other ways, to sell financial information to criminals and personal information to identity thieves. John Gunn says the next step could even be to extort individual patients who don't want their records made public.
This gives the hackers potentially two bites at the same apple. They could get money from the company and from extorting individual patients or selling their records.
Before, to attack a big organization, it took a lot of resources. Attack individuals, that's not very efficient. With using bots, automated programs, and AI, now I can attack individuals.
This prospect puts even more pressure on healthcare companies. Now, not only are their operations compromised, John says, but they're in danger of being whacked with a HIPAA fine and a class action lawsuit, which could in turn hammer the company's share price. All of that makes them an easy target for a quick payout.
And healthcare companies do pay. They don't talk about it, but a Justice Department investigation last year revealed that just one gang netted more than $100 million from hospitals and other institutions held to ransom.
So why aren't these healthcare companies doing more to fight back? Scott Small says they are, but it's hard to keep up in what amounts to an arms race.
I think we take for granted how challenging it is to secure a modern enterprise. It's getting more difficult to widely patch, and especially just to keep an up-to-date current inventory of all the assets and software that you might have running across your entire enterprise.
That includes employees as well as partner networks and suppliers. It's a massive task to keep all those nodes secure and properly trained in password management and data security. It takes time, focus, and of course, money. The kind of money that finance companies have gotten used to spending. John Gunn says he remembers hearing an interview with J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon a few years ago.
And they said, wow, you spend, you know, these hundreds of millions of dollars on, you know, cybersecurity. How much will you spend next year? And his answer was simple. Whatever it takes. Healthcare hasn't had that approach.
John says that with all the pressure healthcare companies are under now, with patients being individually affected, the government weighing in with fines, the threat of lawsuits, and the possible effect on stock prices, he expects the healthcare approach is due for a change. By the way, we did reach out to Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago to ask them about how much they spend on cybersecurity, but they declined the opportunity to comment. This episode was produced by Cooper Katz-McKim with engineering by Sina Lofredo. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kate Kincannon is our editor, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.